Today on Jay Sekulow Live, it's crunch time for Obamacare at the Supreme Court.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110.
And now your host, Than Bennett.
Hey everyone, welcome into the broadcast. Than Bennett coming to you from our studios here on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., joined from our Nashville studios by David French, senior counsel at the ACLJ. Jay and Jordan are actually going to be joining us in the next segment of the broadcast, and we want you to be a part of the show today as well. Our phone lines are open for you, 1-800-684-3110. Again, 1-800-684-3110 to be a part of the show. We're talking today about Obamacare because, folks, this is it. It's really crunch time for Obamacare at the Supreme Court. You know, back when this process started, we promised you that we were going to be engaged on this, fighting with you every step of the way, and it's really been a long process. If you think back to the legislative fights, we had those razor-tight votes in the House and the Senate. Then we had all of those massive rallies across America, and in many ways, that was the emergence of the Tea Party that happened around this issue. You're going to remember those backdoor deals with Senator Ben Nelson's Cornhusker kickback. And most significantly in my mind, I have to tell you, was when the president insisted on making this the biggest abortion bailout in history when he stripped out those pro-life protections. And then, of course, the litigation began. We've been in the courtroom litigating Obamacare at the D.C. Circuit. We've represented members of Congress and frankly, hundreds of thousands of you in amicus briefs at every stage of this process, all the way up to the Supreme Court. And I'm going to explain to you in just a moment why this new brief that's headed to the Supreme Court is really the big one and what you can do to be involved. But David, first, I want to come quickly to you. You know, we've got oral arguments scheduled for March 26th, 27th, and 28th. We're just 2 months away from that. Our briefing is well underway in the case, but this is really the fourth quarter, so to speak. I mean, it's the final push after a very long battle. This is the moment that we'd all hoped wouldn't be necessary, but it's the one we've been preparing for a long time now.
Oh, that's exactly right. And what you have to realize here is, you know, even as we're in the middle of a political season and we have pretty much nonstop primary coverage on the television, that this is an issue that transcends politics. This is about the core relationship of the state to its citizens. Can the federal government, this $4 trillion Leviathan that's out there, compel citizens to purchase a product? Now, that's a compelling enough constitutional issue, but if the court is going to say yes to that question, what that does is it fundamentally transforms the relationship of the citizen and the state. It fundamentally begins to adjust the founder's vision of a limited federal government. So we're talking about something here that, even putting aside the presidential election, as important as that is, we're talking about a core constitutional issue here and a ruling in that will resonate for 10 years, for 20 years, perhaps even for 50, 60, 70 years. I mean, it is that important. And so one thing that I think is critical for listeners to understand, we've got a brief here that 119 members of Congress have signed off on. 119 members of Congress. I think that means that the Supreme Court is going to take a close look at its arguments. We're putting forth not only the views of 100,000 fellow citizens, but 119 members of Congress, and that is an impressive accomplishment.
Yeah, folks, David is exactly correct. This next brief on the question of the individual mandate is so significant because it's about more than health care. It's about whether or not the constitutional bounds that the founders put in place are going to remain, and it's about whether or not we take that first step to socialize medicine, including abortion on demand as a core health care service. That's why you've got to engage now. You may have signed every brief we've filed so far, or maybe you haven't signed any of them. This is the time to step up and take a stake in the game. You need to add your name alongside ours. The number is 1-877-989-2255. You can also add your name online at aclj.org. But all of you need to be a part of this. You need to go to your phones, take a stand, add your name to the brief, 877-989-2255. We'll be back after this with Jay and Jordan and your calls on air.
This is a very important time. With the Supreme Court poised to hear oral arguments on Obamacare in March, the clock is ticking. Time is running out to send the Supreme Court a message. Obamacare, the government-run pro-abortion health care law, is not only wrong for America, it is unconstitutional as well. More than 100,000 Americans already have signed on to a critical amicus brief filed by the American Center for Law and Justice at the Supreme Court on the Obamacare case. But round two is just around the corner. The ACLJ is just weeks away from filing a second amicus brief with the High Court, urging the justices to strike down the individual mandate, the provision that forces Americans to purchase health insurance. This is the time to add your name to that brief. You can make a difference. Stand with the ACLJ now. Tell the Supreme Court it must reject Obamacare. Add your name now. Call 1-877-989-2255 or online, aclj.org. Now you can cut through the clutter, get the facts, the latest on the political landscape, as well as the legal and cultural issues that matter most to you and your family. ACLJ Executive Director Jordan Seculo provides unique insights and a fresh perspective daily on The Jordan Seculo Show.
This is such an important time for America, a national election, a Supreme Court decision on Obamacare, and so much more. In a world where the liberal media strives to distort reality and discredit conservatives just like you and me, you can rely on us to provide you with the facts, the truth.
With experience that spans the globe, Jordan Seculo tackles the tough topics. And you can be part of the show. Send Jordan your questions right now via Twitter. Tweet at Jordan Seculo. The Jordan Seculo Show, Monday through Friday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern on Sirius and XM Radio, as well as streaming live on ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, coming to you from our studios in Washington, D.C. Here at the ACLJ studios, yes, we're broadcasting live on Martin Luther King Day. Hopefully, if you have your day off, you're enjoying it. Thank you for tuning in. Again, we hope to talk to you. Phone lines open for you, 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. We're actually being joined on the phone now by both Jay and Jordan, and I want to get to them right off the top here. But just a reminder before we do that, we want you to participate in this amicus brief that we're sending to the Supreme Court on the central issue of the Obamacare case, this question of the individual mandate and whether or not the federal government can force you to purchase a product from a private company. If you want to do that, you need to call now. It's 877-989-2255. It's, again, 877-989-2255. But, Jay, I want to come to you first, right off the top of this segment, because you've been through this briefing process at the Supreme Court countless times. Of course, you've argued there in front of the court a dozen or more times. Talk to us a little bit about this merit stage. What is it about this merit stage that is so critical, and why do we need our members to stand with us, particularly now?
Well, Ben, this is actually, you know, we're in South Carolina. A lot of people are talking about Obamacare. And when you listen to the political speeches down here and you see the advertisements, Obamacare is front and center. Well, the reality is it's also front and center now at the Supreme Court of the United States. And to be very specific, this is, as you mentioned, the merit stage. These are the briefs that address the merits of the case, the individual mandate. That's obviously a major issue. You've got issues involving the Anti-Injunction Act. I mean, there's a whole series of major issues that are being addressed. We've got a series of three briefs that we're having to file. This is the second one. So what we're asking our members to do now is to engage. We will. It looks like, and I guess you have the numbers on this, we're going to have over 100 members of the United States Congress. Is that what it's looking like right now?
Yeah, we've got 119 on board right now, Jay.
119 members of the United States Congress, folks, almost over a third of the Congress, have joined us on the brief. But what we need to tell the court is that it's now not just the Congress that's speaking out, but the American people don't want this either. And that, I think, is the critical stage. This is the merits brief. These are the briefs that are read by the court that determine the opinions. You've got the oral arguments, of course, in March, but a lot of it is done on the briefs. And so this is the critical stage. What we've asked people to do, and I know you've been asking people to sign up, if you signed up on the previous brief, that's great, but now this is a brand new one. So we need you to, again, call and re-up, if you will, to have your name as part of this committee for this brief. We're at 100,000. I really would like to, by the time we finish the last brief on this one to be well over 200,000 or even a quarter of a million. Can you imagine 250,000 people on a signature on a brief to the Supreme Court of the United States and 119 or 120 members of the United States Congress? It'll have a powerful impact. And it is the issue being discussed down here in South Carolina. And I think you'll see it again tonight in the debate. So we encourage people to call at 1-877-989-2255 to add your name. That's, again, 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. If you care about life, you need to be involved in this brief because you are funding, through Obamacare, we are funding mandatory abortions throughout this country. The president tried to deny it, but the fact of the matter, all the legislation that was designed to make sure that did not happen, none of that got in the bill. So when you read the bill, and Stan, you know this, abortion is all over it.
Yeah, it's all over. And I actually want to follow up with you on that in just a moment, Jay. But I wanted to go to Jordan real quickly, if I could. Jordan, you might have thoughts on Obamacare as well, and I'd certainly like to hear those. But I also want to get your perspective from there on the ground, this big news, political news that came out today. Governor Huntsman is withdrawn. He's endorsed Governor Romney. And, of course, it comes just a few days before South Carolina voters go to the polls. What are you hearing there on the ground, and how big of an impact do you think it's going to have on the race there in South Carolina?
You know, it's interesting, Stan. I think in New Hampshire, it wouldn't have had as much of an impact because Governor Romney had such a big lead there, and Governor Huntsman had a pretty core group of supporters that probably wouldn't be as likely to just support whoever he said to endorse that day, you know, less than a week before the voting. But Governor Huntsman is pulling ahead of Rick Perry here, you know, governor of Texas, and he's about 6-7% in polls. If those supporters go to Mitt Romney, and I think there's a good chance they do, Governor Romney's got at least a 10-point lead in every poll here. Newt Gingrich usually coming in second. If he picks up, you know, most of those Huntsman supporters, and they're the former governors and the current state attorney general here, people like that, that could give him that extra boost, Governor Romney, to not just win in South Carolina, but win big. And that's what everyone is looking for. You know, there's going to be two debates, one tonight on Fox News, one Thursday on CNN. And now with John Huntsman out, the question is, does any candidate make a move to really challenge Romney? The votes are out there. You know, there are enough votes spread out. But then what we have seen is that Santorum and Gingrich have been unrelenting, not only on their attacks against Governor Romney, but on their attacks against each other. So they really have, as you saw, these social conservatives who came together in Texas, they're now fighting today in the news saying, We're split, Santorum, Gingrich, and that's, you know, perfect for Governor Romney.
Absolutely, I agree with you. And Jay, I wanted to come back to you quickly. You mentioned this about health care and the abortion component, but David and I talked in the first segment about how this is about more than health care, too. I mean, it's really about the reach of the federal government. How long can that arm of the federal government be? I know you've been involved in many of these cases before where the decision that the Supreme Court hands down really has far-reaching consequences, far beyond the specific issue at hand. And I think that's especially true here in this case, and I wanted to get your thoughts on that. It's more than healthcare. It's about how much the government can do going forward.
It is, and let me tell you this: you're talking about, you know, we tend to focus on the abortion issue, which is fine, and we should because it's such a major part of this. But everybody needs to understand: this is the largest power grab by the federal government in our lifetime. I mean, this is taking over 21% of the economy. It will radically change how we are viewed and how we continue to make progress in defending freedom and liberty. So what's at stake in Obamacare is not simply a health care plan or not simply more abortion funding. It is literally how do we define liberty in the United States of America, and that's what's at play here. I think it may perhaps be the most important case of our lifetime, and I think because of that, we have to get real, we have to understand, and we have to be prepared to fight back aggressively. And that is where the fight here, people say, well, we need to be aggressive. We are. In the courts, with their support, our members and friends' support, that will make all the difference in the world.
Guys, we got a lot of phone calls coming again in, again, to be a part of the broadcast, 1-800-684-3110. I wanted to try to grab one or two while we still got Jay and Jordan with us. Let's go to line one. Christine is calling from New Jersey. Christine, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Christine.
Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be able to have the opportunity to speak with you guys and all of the people that are listening. First of all, this thing is an outrage. I'm not going to go into my whole life story, but I'm going to tell you this. There is no way he could ever make me pay for health insurance in the state of New Jersey for medical. I don't have health insurance. I cannot afford health insurance. I have worked in the medical field for years. I've worked for independent doctors, doctors that cannot afford at all to give their employees health benefits.
Well, let me tell you what's going on with that. Understand this. I saw an interview with a medical doctor yesterday at Mike Huckabee's forum, and he said a lot of doctors are not even taking Medicare and Medicaid patients anymore because the whole reimbursement system is so skewed. If you think it's bad now, and I could hear it in your voice, it is going to be so much worse under this plan. That's the real concern, I think, that you have here. Jordan, we're seeing that on the ground. I mean, we're seeing that right here in South Carolina. People are talking about this.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think that the biggest thing, it's interesting, Dad, because I don't think we've ever seen it before in politics is clear. People really are, it's not just the media, people really do just want to beat President Obama, they want to stop what's happening in Washington, but they also want to turn things around now. You know, Congress, they elected the House of Representatives, so many who we represent in the case against Obamacare at the Supreme Court, they elected them to kind of put a halt, and they've done that, but now it's ready to actually get some things going, and they know that would only be the case if they have a different president, someone who's going to really actually propose reforms working with Congress, not just stopping things. So I think it's true. People do want to see significant change, and you see health care coming to the forefront. And what's clear is that all these candidates have said that they would do what they can to stop it. But that's going to take more than just a president. It's going to take Congress, key use of executive orders. And, of course, we've got the case at the U.S. Supreme Court as well. And I mean, it may not be good for politics, Dad, but what I hope is that we do well there and we're successful, Obamacare will be stopped before the election.
Yeah, Jordan, let me just follow up with you real quickly. You only got about a minute left, but I wanted to ask you about what you said about the president's role, a new president that's elected. Governor Romney and a few others have proposed getting rid of some of Obamacare by executive order. What are you hearing? Is that something you think that could work?
Yeah, I mean, Governor Romney was criticized by that, but if you actually look at what the president can do, you can gut it. Can you repeal the law unilaterally? Of course you can't. But what the president can do is gut so many of the key provisions and put Congress's back up against the wall that if there's no funding mechanism, if the insurance companies, if the rates would go up and skyrocket, it doesn't matter if you got a Democrat House or Republican House or Democrat Senate or Republican Senate, you can stop this thing at being president. You can gut it.
Yeah, that's the next step. But folks, the step that we have now is at the Supreme Court of the United States. It's the step we've been building to for a long time now. You stood with us in the legislative fights. You stood with us when we filed briefs at the lower court. We need you to stand with us now. Tell the Supreme Court, Obamacare is unconstitutional. You must strike it down. Call now, 877-989-2255. Again, 877-989-2255. Or ACLJ.org. Well, after this break, we'll be back with your calls.
Now you can cut through the clutter, get the facts, the latest on the political landscape, as well as the legal and cultural issues that matter most to you and your family. ACLJ Executive Director Jordan Sekulo provides unique insights and a fresh perspective daily on The Jordan Sekulo Show.
This is such an important time for America, a national election, a Supreme Court decision on Obamacare, and so much more. In a world where the liberal media strives to distort reality and discredit conservatives just like you and me, you can rely on us to provide you with the facts, the truth.
With experience that spans the globe, Jordan Sekulo tackles the tough topics. And you can be part of the show. Send Jordan your questions right now via Twitter. Tweet at Jordan Sekulo. The Jordan Sekulo Show, Monday through Friday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern on Sirius and XM Radio, as well as streaming live on ACLJ.org. This is a very important time. With the Supreme Court poised to hear oral arguments on Obamacare in March, the clock is ticking. Time is running out to send the Supreme Court a message. Obamacare, the government-run pro-abortion health care law, is not only wrong for America, it is unconstitutional as well. More than 100,000 Americans already have signed on to a critical amicus brief filed by the American Center for Law and Justice at the Supreme Court on the Obamacare case. But round two is just around the corner. The ACLJ is just weeks away from filing a second amicus brief with the High Court, urging the justices to strike down the individual mandate, the provision that forces Americans to purchase health insurance. This is the time to add your name to that brief. you can make a difference. Stand with the ACLJ now. Tell the Supreme Court it must reject Obamacare. Add your name now. Call 1-877-989-2255 or online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Before we get back to Obamacare, and we do want to get right back to it as the Supreme Court is set to hear this case, and we're filing briefs on the question of the individual mandate. But before we get to your phone calls on that issue, I wanted to go to David quickly on this breaking news that Jordan discussed briefly in the last segment, and that's Governor John Huntsman withdrawing. David, I know you've been involved in many campaigns and politics for a long time. I want to get your perspective on just how significant this is, not only in South Carolina, but down the road. How do you see this playing out? What impact will it have, his supporters now being up for grabs for the other candidates?
Well, you know, I think the impact is going to be really marginal overall. To the extent that Huntsman was gaining any currency, he was gaining currency with what a lot of people thought would have been natural Romney supporters. And so I think to the extent it helps anyone, it's going to help Mitt Romney. But, you know, at this point, we're looking at Huntsman was really struggling to gain traction. I mean, he was getting a little bit more than Rick Perry, but Rick Perry's support had collapsed over the last several weeks. So, you know, this is part of the natural primary process. You see people who seemed like bitter enemies 1 week ago dropping out and endorsing and being best friends with everyone else on the stage. So it's just part of the process. And, you know, one thing I think is really important for folks to realize is that this campaign is seeing some incredible unanimity on the part of the Republicans. I mean, with the exception in many ways of Ron Paul, but every single person on that stage wants to get rid of Obamacare. Every single person on that stage is pro-life. I mean, that's the influence of the conservative movement right there on the Republican Party. I mean, even 4 years ago, you were looking at pro-abortion candidates, leading candidates like Rudy Giuliani, pro-abortion. You don't see that anymore. So I think that, you know, even though there's a lot of infighting right now, conservatives as a whole should take heart at the picture that they're looking at.
Yeah, I agree with you, David. And I just want to follow up on that, you know, real quickly. I think it's interesting in the wake of the Huntsman withdrawal today, you're seeing some of the attack pieces, so to speak, that he had out there now coming down as he, you know, chooses his candidate that he's going to support. And you're going to see more of that as other candidates drop out of the race. But it gives me an opportunity to tell you, when you see these attack pieces, really, really evaluate them for yourself, no matter who the candidate is. Take a look at the content of the piece and see if they're actually true. Sometimes they're going to be and sometimes they're not. You really need to cut through it and look at it yourself. I want to try to get to as many calls as we can in the last 5 minutes of the show here. Let's go to line four. Linda is calling from California. Linda, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you for taking my call. One thing that I haven't heard but that I wanted to ask is if the Supreme Court votes that the health bill is constitutional, if we get a Republican president in, can he overrule then that health care?
Well, that's a great question. I'm going to go to David for some analysis on this, but I just want to say quickly before I go to David, really, no matter what happens in the next election, that is one reason that this case is so important, because let's say the Supreme Court disagrees with us and the Obamacare is upheld, and then the next president comes along and the next Congress is able to repeal it, so it comes off the books. You will have gotten rid of Obamacare, David, but you will still have a precedent that is very troublesome on the Commerce Clause issue, because it's still will permit a future Congress to extend their reach beyond what has traditionally been accepted.
Well, that's exactly right. And that's why at the very beginning of the show, we talked about the incredible importance of this constitutional issue that transcends politics. You can't put all your eggs in the political basket, because let's suppose the Supreme Court rules in a way that we disagree. Just like you said, you could get a Republican House, Senate, and President, the trifecta of conservative governance in the country, get it repealed, and then 4, 8, 12 years down the line, you replace all of those with Democrats, and we'll be right back where we started, or with a different law that takes advantage of the powers that the Supreme Court has given Congress in this ruling. So this constitutional case here really is definitional about the role of the state in a private person's life. I mean, Jay said it right. This is one of the most critical cases of our lifetimes. And when it comes to the role of the federal government, there's no question it is the most critical case of my lifetime.
Yeah, David, it's about rule of law. It's about constitutional governance. It's about preserving our republic. You don't want to overstate it, but it really is that central to the way that our founders set up our government. Let's go to line one. Ron is calling from New York. Ron, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yes, good afternoon. I just want to say, first of all, thank you to Jay and your program and Jordan, and obviously for all the work that you do. We've been supporters of you for many years. What I was calling in reference to was that people really need to get behind you in this. Last June, we were brought into a group by our employer, and it was in regards to our health care benefits. The way the benefit had been set up originally was we had a $2,250 each family member deductible, and we had a drug copay that started out from the very get-go. So that, and my wife is insulin-dependent diabetic, so her insulin might be $35 in the copay. We were told then, starting the very 1st of July, we had 2 weeks' notice that plan had been scrapped. And because of the Obamacare, all the pending legislation, that our drug plan and our co-pay for a family now was $5,200. So,
David, or Ron, I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you out, but running out of time here. But, you know, listen, I'm sorry for your story, but we're actually hearing this even before the law is fully implemented, David. We're hearing, stories of premiums going up, people dropping their coverage because they just can't meet the levels that are required under Obamacare. You know, crazy as it sounds, proponents of this law were saying that they were going to cover everyone. They were going to do it while premiums went down, and by some miracle, it was going to save the federal government hundreds of millions of dollars. It was a crazy claim, David, but it was one they made, and now they're paying the price for it.
The economics of it just simply don't work. You can't say to all of America that you're going to have 300 million insurance policies that cover everything under the sun and costs will go down. I mean, as we all know, when they passed the law, they gamed the system by not building in this doctor fix to Medicare to artificially depress and artificially reduce the amount of reimbursement to doctors to try to get it to pass budgetary muster. But that was just an accounting trick. The economic reality of Obamacare is that it is it's a fiscal disaster. You cannot promise the world to people and then deliver the world at reduced cost. It just cannot happen. You know, we're talking about mandatory insurance in some states, say, for example, like, say, in Arkansas or Texas, where up to 25 to 28% of the people there are uninsured. Who's paying for that? The taxpayer is paying for that, and paying for that with a Cadillac plan. It just can't possibly work, especially in an era of trillion-dollar deficits.
Yeah, and David, what you're talking about is even before you get to this idea that it was all rooted in this scheme of, you know, collecting 10 years of tax revenue but only counting 6 years of expenditures, therefore the scoring system just didn't work. Plus, then you get into all the waivers that have already been granted. Not everyone is participating, as even the proponent said was necessary. But, folks, this is why we need you to stand with us now. We're just 2 weeks away from filing the big brief on this one. It gets to the core question of the individual mandate. Can the federal government force you to buy a product from a private company? That's the question that's at stake here. We need you to join with us now. Add your name to the brief going to the Supreme Court of the United States, 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Again, go to your phones, 877-989-2255. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
If you've previously listened to the full hour of Jay's broadcast, now beginning at 12:30 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday, you can listen to the new Jordan Sekulow Show. Jordan Sekulow provides insightful analysis and interviews with top newsmakers, live from Washington, D.C. The Jordan Sekulow Show, Monday through Friday at 12:30 Eastern. Find out how you can listen to the show online at www.jordansekulow.com. And if you're interested in carrying this new program on your station or network, contact the Jordan Sekulow Show via email, info@sekulow.com.